And then, so I'm going to share tonight on, you can put up the first thing, unity in community. Yeah, so, yeah, obviously. I mean, Paul said it, the line should run. Yeah, no. He didn't. I just want to say, like, when I don't know what it is in this congregation, but when I entered, everyone's like, you have a white shirt on. Apparently, Paul only preaches in black shirts. So, I missed that memo. He didn't tell me. But yeah, so, just a quick story. So, on Friday, when we came back, just past Kohlsberg, we overtook another car, and then we just heard, like, this strange noise from the engine, and there was just no power. And we couldn't, like, overtake the car. There wasn't power. And the strange thing is, so after a while, a Suzuki Espresso overtook us. Now, for those who know your cars, a Suzuki Espresso is like probably the smallest car on the market currently. So a Suzuki Espresso overtaking you on the N1, that tells something. And a few moments later, a bus overtook us. Yeah. So that was like, okay, I mean, something's wrong. So I took my car in maybe a month ago to get it serviced. And the week thereafter, I was driving and I realized, like, something's wrong. This car's not, it doesn't have the power I'm used to. Took it back and they said, oh, it's only your turbo. So I knew it's turbo and they fixed it. Didn't think much of it. They said it's a small problem. So when we pulled off on the road, I knew automatically, look for the turbo. And as I opened the bonnet, I saw the turbo pipe was disconnected. It pulled loose. And now you can put up the next slide. So turbo is actually quite a interesting, or quite a clever, where should I stand? I don't know. It's a quite a clever design. So what it does, if you follow the red here, so obviously your engine has exhaust, hot air that's blowing out. So what the turbo does is instead of the exhaust fumes already just going straight out of the car, it first goes into a turbine, which turns the wheel. And that wheel is connected to a second wheel, and that's where you see the blue, where it pulls fresh air in, and it compresses it, and it presses the compressed fresh air into the engine. And by that, it just increases the power of the engine. Now, when I opened the boot, all the engine parts was in there. The bonnet. Sorry. Someone's awake. When I opened the bonnet, all the engine parts were there. And actually, every engine part was still working. It was literally just a pipe that disconnected. And much in the same way, the church, or in the same way that the turbo uses the connection, or needs the connection to optimally function, so does the church also need its members to be connected and to be united in purpose. And when this connection becomes loose, that's a turbo. No. And when the connection becomes loose between the members, when there's no connection between the members of the church will also lose its effectiveness and will become like sluggish. So that's just an illustration of actually something that happened on Friday, which I think was actually quite cool. So basically, I'm going to share just on unity in community. And I'm going to read this first portion of scripture. So you have to excuse me. It's quite intimidating. I mean, Paul leads this congregation, and he knows his stuff. And this morning, Leonard preached at AM. And I'm like, you know. So I'm giving my best. My sole goal tonight is to make sure Justin doesn't yawn. That's my sole goal. But let me read it. So, this is from the NIV. So that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and the owners have and our own hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and we have testified of it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So first of all, he's sharing on the gospel. They're sharing on writing his letter, and the first two verses, they're just hearing on the gospel, which they are now proclaiming to this congregation. And then on verse 3 it says, we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So now, we share the same gospel as the original apostles. And we share in that fellowship that the original apostles had back then. Verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. Wow, like they are joy, they have so much joy to share this gospel. And it's the same message that they've shared back then that we can share today. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. So, when we say, like, we have fellowship, I think fellowship is such an interesting word. It's a very Christianese word. Like, you don't hear it very often, except maybe Lord of the Rings, you know, Fellowship of the Ring. But apart from that, like, we don't really use the word fellowship. But to make it helpful, substitute the word fellowship with partnership. Okay, so when we say in verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have partnership with us. And our partnership is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we as believers have partnership with Christ. We are in partnership with Jesus. And because each one of us are in partnership with Jesus, by virtue, we are in partnership with one another. And that brings me to my first question to ask yourself. Are you given to something greater than yourself? Are you given to the church? Are you given to his kingdom? Are you part of that partnership? And do you see yourself as the lesser partner in the partnership? Almost like a soldier in an army. Like, a soldier doesn't just, like, on his own, does his own thing, and, like, every now and then he just, like, checks in with the rest of his team. Like, you follow your orders, you stick together no matter what. Everyone plays their part. Everyone trusts one another. Everyone backs one another. And Do we see that in church as well? Or is church more like a club? You know, I'm associated to that church, and I have my maybe membership, and, you know, every now and then we attend a function. Or is it family? Is it your partnership that you're part of? Are you given to that? So the next slide, partners in the fellowship. So Romans 12, verse 10 to 11. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fever serving the Lord. Okay, so love one another. To be devoted. And then to one another. Philippians 2, verse 2 to 4. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. We see this, like, you know, to put others above ourselves. To look out for the interests of others. And that's how partnerships work. Like you stick together. So I want to bring the question again. Like, we, do you want the best for the person next to you? Is that our attitude? Well, Yaku doesn't have someone next to him. Because if you want the best for the person next to you, it means you want the best for the kingdom of God. And do you encourage the person next to you to walk into the more of God? Because if you want that, it means you are wanting to advance the kingdom of God. So that's the two first questions. So I want to get to some practical points, just like how do you stay connected to church, or how do you get connected to church? But before I share that, I think I do want to pray for us. Oh, Jesus, thank you that we have the privilege to be in partnership with you. Jesus, thank you that we can follow you in this partnership, Lord. Thank you that we have safety in this partnership. Lord, thank you for the privilege that we can take hands to love you, to serve you, to advance your kingdom. And Jesus, I pray that we would carry one another's burdens and to put others' interests above ourselves so that we can advance this kingdom. Lord, by serving one another, by encouraging one another, we are advancing your kingdom. Amen. So just some practical points. I have 3 points for us. I'm going to elaborate on them, but I'm first going to share the points. Firstly, give yourself. That's the first point. Give yourself. Second point, don't wait. And the third point is meet the person. Okay, so I'm going to elaborate on them. 3 points. Give yourself, don't wait, meet the person. So first point, give yourself. How can I give myself to church? First one would be to serve, practically. Fortunately, with the setups in communities, normally communities are on duty, so you can practically serve on a Sunday with setup. But then also, what other talents do you have? Maybe you can sing, maybe you can be in band. So, give yourself. Go to your leader, say, I can sing. For instance, Andrew did so well, and I have the privilege to have him in community as well. So you can imagine every Wednesday he sings. But it's such a privilege. It's such a privilege to be able to use people's talents. And not relying just on what you have, but you can actually pull people's in, and they can contribute. And then the second way you can give yourself is to actually build deep relationships in the church that you are. And build the relationship as if you are going to be there forever. And the thing is, the great thing about 412 is it's all over the world. So someone might relocate, but you'll see them at the next 412 conference. And you'll see them on outreach again. And you'll see them in heaven again. So it's not wasted. So build as if you're going to be there forever. And the third point to give yourself is, and to be honest, that's personally for me a struggle, don't criticize. Stay in your lane. It's so easy to criticize that of church is not right, the band should change the tempo, and the AV people should be faster. And the coffee should be warmer, and like, it's so easy to just point out stuff you feel doesn't work. But are you serving on AV? Are you making a coffee? Are you on band? It's so easy to criticize every part that you don't like. Criticize the part you're part of. Look at that. Stay in your lane. Otherwise, you can get so miffed with people and so discouraged with church. Stay in your lane. If something bothers you, look the other way. Like, they're probably dealing with something much bigger than what you are aware of. So don't criticize. Like, stay in your lane. Obviously, if there's something you feel that's overlooked, like mention it. I'm not saying you should never talk and you should like shy away. You can obviously bring it, like mention it to them. Hey, have you looked at it? And they'll probably tell you, yeah, we are aware of that. So I'm not saying like you should like keep your mouth. I'm actually more referring to your heart attitude. Like, are you looking at the issues, or are you overlooking the issues and focusing on what you are part of? Then on the second point, don't wait. In Bloom, I think this is less of a problem, but don't sit and wait for people to pull you in. Initiate reaching out to people. It's so easy to sit back in church and feel lonely, and, you know, I'm overlooked, no one's pulling me in. That's a very bad attitude. Like, you initiate people. Like, you arrange a coffee. You arrange a movie night. Take the initiative, invite people. And then with that, if people don't respond the way you want them to respond, don't feel rejected. Don't be discouraged. Be persistent. Invite them again for next week. If you ask someone, they might say they're busy. That's fine. We'll do it next week. Don't feel rejected or be discouraged. Like, be persistent in initiating, inviting people, drawing people in. And remember, because first and foremost, our own responsibility to walk out our journey. It's not someone else's responsibility. Like, how you give yourself to church is your responsibility. It's not the leader's responsibility, or the way you serve, or the way you connect with people. It's not the church's responsibility or that leader's responsibility. It's first and foremost with you. So take that responsibility. Like, do and don't wait. Be active. And then the third point is meet a person. If you see someone in church, you've seen them maybe two or three times, go to that person, get their number, arrange a meetup. Just do it. Just meet a person. So often we just say hi with a smile at church, and then next week we do the same. And next week we do the same. And we never get to meet that person. So every person have, Leonard shared this with us, every person have gold in them. Like, every single person have gold in them, and might take some effort to get to that gold. But there's gold in there, so try to get to that gold. I mean, if everyone is intentional with at least two people, it's impossible that someone is neglected. Just two. You're just intentional with two people in the congregation. You're just reaching out to two people. Everyone will be reached out to. So draw people in. And then, have confidence. Be less reserved. Go to that person, get their number, and arrange a meetup. It's easy. I think so often we're so passive in connecting with people. We wait for something to happen. It's like there's a braai, and at the braai you get to meet the person, and only then you arrange to meet up with the person. But months ago, you sat next to him in church. Like, why didn't you back then arrange a meetup? Just to get to know the person. So in the next slide, and this is the last verse I have for us, in Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. So I asked the question earlier, like, do you want the best for a person next to you? And do you encourage the person next to you? So part of partnership is to encourage the person next to you to run harder, to go deeper, not to give up. How do you spur up one another to do good deeds? So I'm going to start finishing up, and but I have a goal for you to think, how can you build this partnership? Specifically, Bloemfontein PM, how can you build on this partnership? Not how are you on the receiving end, are you enjoying Wellington? Are you enjoying Bloom PM? but think, how can I build into this partnership? And how can I bring the person that's sitting next to me into more of God? And it doesn't say like, okay, now you have to like walk this long road with this person, discipleship this person, but maybe that's that one prophetic word or that one encouragement that you can just bring to build up the person next to you. And then that's the first one. How can I build this partnership? And the second one that's very practical, make it your goal to get into as many houses of people in this church as possible and try to get as many people in this congregation into your house. A house is such a vulnerable place. And when you open up your house to someone, to a degree, you open up your heart to them because they see where you stay. They see how neat you are. They see how good you can cook. And I think that's such a practical way for us to be vulnerable and to open up our lives to people is get into their house and get them into your house. And again, don't feel rejected. Be persistent. Don't ask once, and if they say no, you just leave it. You ask them until they come.